Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. Please tell them to visit www.cityonahill.tv, and they can have access to years and years' worth of interviews. And we have been off the air for almost a month. And I think this is the first time ever in all these years that we have been off this much time. But, Ms. Barbara, it really was good to have a time of, you know, rest. In your case, it wasn't exactly rest, but I could say that I really did rest. Yours was a little different. But you know, it's funny because I missed it. I really did miss our time together, even though, you know, people don't realize what we do. There's really a lot of effort that goes into doing any radio show, And I feel like it even for this little radio show. But at the same time, it's like all's right with the world when we come on. So I'm so grateful to have you on, Miss Barbara, all's right with the world.
Well, I tell you what, I am grateful to you, Diana, and for you. I'm grateful for the listeners. I'm grateful to the Lord for all he is doing for us, with us, through us, that he gives us an opportunity to do this is just such a gift to us. And we are truly, truly grateful. I am desiring to wish everyone a very happy new year, a healthy new year, and I will add a holy new year, because if it is a holy new year, it will be a happy and a healthy new year. I believe that with all my heart, that we are never more happy than we are right in the center of God's will for us. And so I look forward to this 2015 with a great deal of hope. And I just have this feeling of expectancy. And I'm encouraged. And honestly, Diana, I don't know that there's anything in the natural that would cause me to have this hopefulness. And I would just say that because God is the God of all hope, we can have hope, and we will have hope. And we were talking earlier today about what happens when we have hope. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, so we have faith. If we have hope, you know, we have faith. We're expectantly looking, and you know, and then what do? When we have hope and faith, we begin to build for the future. We do not build for the future if we are without hope, if we are despondent or in despair or depressed or oppressed or discouraged. You know, building for the future is the last thing that we think about when we're in that condition. But if we have hope and faith, we will put one foot in front of the other, and we will build for the future because God holds our future. And he blesses us with the ability and the giftedness to build for that future. The future is in his hands. We've got to cooperate with him, don't we?
Well, yes, Ms. Barbara, it is a gift from God. And it's like, you know, I've heard people say, you know, what about, I think I heard it over this year's holiday season. It was asked, the question was asked, well, does God love Judas? Did God love Judas? You know, and of course, God loves Judas. He loves everyone. But I think, you know, would God forgive Judas too? I think was maybe the question that was asked. And yes, God would forgive. But the problem is, Ms. Barbara, is, you know, it's just like the gift of salvation. You have to take it. You have to, you know, it's offered to you, but you have to take it, right? And a lot of times, you know, people do not go to God to accept that gift. And that's exactly what happens in the gift of faith. A lot of people choose to not accept the gift of faith. But we are hope-filled. It makes a difference, I think, in my state of mind. You know, I've seen some movies that's really worrisome this past season. But I said to myself, thank God I have hope. I know that hope lives in me through Jesus Christ, and it makes all the difference. And Miss Barbara, you're going to love this. We're going to be joined by Miss Ann Eubank. Hi, Miss Ann.
Yep. Hello. I'm here.
Am.
I made it. Hello. Barbara, I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad you're back.
Oh, thank you so much. We're glad to be back. And we're glad
you
to
be here. You're our first guest, Ms. Ann. We have not had a show, and I don't know how long. So you are our first guest, but let me go ahead and let Ms. Barbara's That Right Foundation that makes City on the Hill, I guess, different from a lot of radio shows. We're not exactly politically correct here, Ms. Barbara, but we know that, you know, is the only thing that helps us. So if you don't mind, would you start us off in prayer, or do you also want to also give us a word of history? I can't remember. We had talked something about doing something about history. And I can't even remember what we were going to do. We were going to try to do something different this year.
I do have something to start us off with, because it was on this day, January 5th, that George Washington Carver died back in the 1940s. I believe it was 43. And one of the best men that ever lived. And he loved the Lord with all his heart. And everything he did as unto the Lord. I was looking back through his correspondence. One of our dear friends, William Federer, has the American Minute, and he's written many books. Well, one of the books that he wrote was about George Washington Carver, one of his childhood heroes. And he wrote the book from the correspondence of George Washington Carver. And, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful correspondence. And you can buy that booklet on his website, AmericanMinute.com. But anyway, there were several things that really popped out at me today. I don't know, looking at the new year with expectancy, and several of the things, and they're very short, but I think they'll lead us into prayer, that George Washington Carver said. In one of his correspondences, he said, "Pray for me, please, that everything said and done will be to God's glory." And he goes on to say, and I love this, I highlighted it, "I am not interested in science or anything else that leaves God out of it. I am not interested." And here is this renowned scientist, you know, from the time he was a small child. He was just passionate about discovering all of nature and just passionate about science. And here this man, this renowned scientist, stated, "I am not interested in science or anything else that leaves God out of it." And might I add, education? We're not interested in education that leaves God out of it. And then the other thing that I wanted to share was that he said, "God is going to reveal to us things he never revealed before, if we put our hands in his." And, you know, he wasn't just talking about his laboratory. He wasn't just talking about his discoveries, his scientific discoveries. But he did go on to say this: "No books ever go into my laboratory. The thing I am to do and the way are revealed to me the moment I am inspired to create something new." He said he would go into his laboratory with God, and it was there that God would reveal something and inspire him to create something new. He says, "Without God to draw aside the curtain, I would be helpless. Only alone can I draw close enough to God to discover his secrets." Beautiful, beautiful testimony of George Washington Carver. Let's pray together. Father, how humbling it is, Lord, to be able to read the inspiring words of those who've gone before us. great men like George Washington Carver. And what a testimony his life, every part of his life, is to you, to your glory, to your greatness and your goodness. We thank you, Father. And Father, I desire that his life be made known to every American child and the lives of other great American heroes. Father, we pray for that. Ms. Ann and Diana and I, we agree together, Father. That is our desire, that our young people would be inspired and informed and enlightened. And, Father, that they would have just a hunger to know more about what you have done. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, and we pray, Father, that you will raise up many, many inspiring teachers who are passionate about you and about what you have done and what you're doing. I pray, Father, that you'll open many hearts and minds to you, Lord. And, Father, that you will just have your way and your plan will be fulfilled. And, Father, throughout this great land of freedom and opportunity, Father, that there will be knowledge going forth, particularly to our young people, Father, so that we can raise up generations who know you, love you, and serve you in whatever capacity you call them to. We thank you, O God, that you are God, and there you open doors no man can shut. Father, you are God, and no one can slam the door in your face, O God. We pray, O God, for our young people. We pray for a new beginning with them, Father. A new beginning for every one of them, Father. Show us how to do it, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Equip us. And, Father, give us boldness. Give us dedication and perseverance. And, Father, that we'll just set our faces like flint to you and to the direction you lead us in, O God. We ask your blessing, Father, upon your people. Help us, O God, for you alone are our help. We love you and we praise you. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray, Father, for our troops, for safety and protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, what a wonderful start. Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. You've got me in tears already, and it's just the beginning of the first year of the new year. Were it not for God, I think that's the lesson. Were it not for God, and you remind me as you were speaking of, you know, the days of the start of this nation, right? When George Washington, I love the picture of George Washington kneeling in prayer, and I know the enemy, you know, he's got the same old tool of life or a mission, right? Miss Barbara, we're talking about the Garden of Eden, about, you know, the devil didn't, you know, wanted Eve to not see something that was very important, you know, hey, let's just admit a few facts here. That the God of universe formed this awesome Garden of Eden where you can have almost everything but one thing, right? And so he shows Eve the one thing she cannot have so that she would overlook all the other things that she could have. And Miss Ann, nothing's changed, has there? I mean, we're seeing that. That omission, let's omit the facts, right? Let's omit or ignore the facts. So anyway, but 2014, I think, you know, just really woke up more people to the fight. I was kind of hoping we could look a little bit 2014 and, again, look into 2015, what we're wanting. And I think many prayers were answered in 2014. And I'd like to go ahead, I guess, and start with the closest one to mind, if I may, which a lot of the listeners may not be aware, but here in Alabama, something has been passed that is like a pilot test for the rest of the country. And Ms. Barbara, you were the one that pointed it out in an article that you read from University of California, I think. Could you tell the audience about what it is that our Superintendent Tommy Bias is pioneering for the rest of the country?
Well, it's that horrible, comprehensive, which means all-encompassing, mental health plan for not only at-risk children who have serious mental illness, but this mental health plan includes all children in Alabama and, of course, all over. But this is a broad plan. It's deep. It's broad. It it goes into places where no man dare to tread. And we have had counselors in the past in high schools to kind of guide students in when they're interested in pursuing a profession, just to kind of help them, help show them what they need to be able to accomplish that in the way of studies and so forth. But this is nothing like that. This is mental health counseling from a perspective that does not include the values of the people of Alabama, the values that are being, that our children will be counseled in, are those progressive, amoral or immoral values that are coming down from Washington, and that we've seen, you know, we've already seen part of that, but there and the sexuality that would be they would be counseled in the they're normalizing homosexuality in the counseling. Children will not be able to object to that, and that's just one part of it. But I know that Ann knows a whole lot more than I do about it. These are just a few of the little things that have alarmed me. But Ann, I'd like for you to help us out here.
Okay. This past in December, yep, I went to the State Board of Education work session where they were going to discuss the counseling, new comprehensive counseling program. And they took it off the agenda, and this is a good piece of news for us, because of all of the letters and calls and complaints that they had gotten, all the school board members, the governor, and everybody who has anything to do with this. I had Dr. Bice walk up to me and say, you know, we've taken this off the agenda. And I said, yes, I know we've taken it off the agenda, but my question is why? And he said, well, y'all have had some really good questions, and we're bringing in some more stakeholders and to look at it further. So, you know, my question would be, what stakeholders and what do they have planned? Because, you know, they never give up. It's just they wait till we are focused on something else and slip it in under. So our big thing is that we have to have people at every work session until they've decided that we're not going to go away, or every board, state board meeting, to make sure that they don't sneak it through. Diana knows that I just got back from Texas working on something that I think When it comes out, will be a tremendous help to all of us, but we're going to keep it under wraps because we don't want, there may be somebody listening tonight because we know they listen to us, and we don't want to get it on the radar for anybody to try to squash it. But and I didn't tell Diana that earlier, but after thinking about it, I think that's what we need to do. Exposing some of where this comes from, but it is specifically a big sociology experiment in order to control. But first, they have to determine where your children's attitudes, beliefs, character traits, values, anything that you've taught your child must be measured and reported as data. And the counselors have been tasked to do that. Every single child gets one. So starting, by the way, if your child goes to public pre-K, all the way through high school and all the way into workforce if necessary. And it's the curriculum, which means it will be tested. And the counselors are to have programs that are specifically designed to guide the children in certain directions. And there will be testing that will show the effectiveness of those counselors' programs. Now, the question, again, as Barbara put forth, is if they don't allow God or any Judeo-Christian religions in school, what programs and in what directions are they guiding our children? And that therein lies the problem. So all of the Common Core proponents thinks this is the greatest thing in the world because it will only take a generation and a half with this kind of societal manipulation in order to turn our entire country towards socialism, communism, secularism, and away from the ways of God. And we have to stop that. I learned in my research lately that President Obama has set up a fund for education for all. And education for all is an Agenda 21 program from the UN, and the United States of America is going to be paying for children all across the globe to be taught Common Core that aren't already being taught, because Common Core was not state-led, and in fact, Common Core is a program for globalization and to educate the children all across the globe for a one world order. Now, I know y'all are sitting out there saying, I'm sorry?
It's even called Common Core all over the globe as well.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
it's not
is.
Really hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the name of it, is Common Core. But for us to pay for it, here in America, our tax dollars, when it's a proven fact that the majority of people in America don't want what they're being fed in this Common Core, it's mind-boggling that we are in the middle of globalizing, taking away biblical principles that this country was founded on, private property, free market, free speech. I mean, we could go on forever with what we will be losing in America if we can't stop this.
Well, you're absolutely right, Ann. And I always like to point out when we're talking about the right of property or, you know, capitalism, free markets, free speech, all the wonderful freedoms that we enjoy, the basis of all of them is what God has revealed to us in His Word. That was the absolute foundation for, that was the grid through which the Founding Fathers viewed all of life. And so what they put into a government was done through their eyes on that grid, that biblical grid. And so all the freedoms we enjoy and that have been protected by the government that they formed, it was because that's God's way. I mean, these are God's principles that He wants for all mankind, not just Americans. But it's only been in America that we've had that foundation from which to build. So, you know, we have had unparalleled freedom and opportunity and prosperity. And it is a biblical basis. And, you know, everything that God has ordained and has been established in this country has been under attack for many, many years. And so I think it's important, you know, that it is God and His principles that are being attacked. This is an attack on God, not just an attack on American principles, but an attack on God's principles. So I don't know, I think it's important that we help people understand that.
Yeah, and I think if you hear the comment that American is exceptional, it's exceptional because of what God graced us with. God graced the country with exceptionalism. And it's because of Christianity and the Judeo-Christian ethics that we are an exceptional, because we have the freedom, God's freedom.
And well, and too, it's only been here in America that the recognition of God and His creation, that we're fearfully and wonderfully created by God for God, that He has endowed us with, my goodness, all these, this capacity to learn, this capacity to create from what He's placed here, this capacity to accomplish great things, because we recognize we're created in His image and likeness, and we've been the beneficiary of the freedom to pursue God's potential for us, you know. So how blessed we are, how fortunate we are, and we desire that for all people. You know, I think that's important to stress, that that's God's desire for all people, and that's our desire for all people. Right, Diana?
Oh, yes, and just listening to y'all, you know, again, thinking about 2014 and the story of 2014, and sometimes I oversimplify things, but I love it when a plan comes together, because, well, we were going into 2014, we thought, you know, there's no plan working, nothing is working, we're not getting anywhere with Common Core, you know. But then hearing what Miss Ann has just shared about, we are fixing to see the big picture. You can't help it because it's here. And people can no longer turn the other cheek or turn the other way because it's right in front of you. But you're going to see it. And Dinesh D'Souza has been wonderful in helping us see a lot of things. And more things are coming. But I look at the big picture of 2014, and my takeaway is how God works all things for good for those who love him. And, Ms. Barbara, I think we were talking about the fact, had we already gotten out of Common Core, you know, had we gotten the victory we wanted earlier this year, I don't know that we would have even noticed this comprehensive counseling, guidance counseling, which our friends, you know, Joan Landis and Linda Murphy, they're both emphasizing how huge this is. This is like,
yeah,
you know, they will have their cake and eat it too. And so, you know, in a way, now that I have seen the comprehensive counseling guidance, you know, I'm not bitter about not having gotten rid of Common Core when I felt like we should have and should have had that victory because, you know, my little brain could not have moved on to what God has shown us here at the very end of the year. And to me, Miss Ann, the fact that you and Miss Barbara, I remember y'all talking about and saying, you know, we're going to be there. I mean, we have got to show up. We have got to tell people we are going to be there. And to the common man, it would not have made sense because we were told there was no point to it. But I think what people don't understand is we don't operate that way.
That's right.
I think
That's
if
right.
we operate really in trying to listen to God's counsel, and I'm so thankful to God that you both stuck to what you have said and gave us pretty much, you know, the words, and words are powerful. And you said, we need to go. Both of you said, we need to be there. And in spite of all the challenges and
I couldn't actually physically be there, but I knew we were supposed to be there at high noon. That I did know. But, you know,
you were there,
Diana,
in spirit.
Think about this, too. It was only toward the end of the year of 2014 that the Alabama Southern Baptist Convention voted unanimously in opposition to Common Core, every part of Common Core, the 2020 plan, and was, you know, everything involved with it. And so that was huge. In 2014, huge,
and Miss Barbara, Miss Ann, you all three of us, none of us were smart enough to figure that out. None of us could have known all those were going to happen at the end of the year, that things were going to click in place, and you know this is why we love proclaiming God's goodness, and I love hearing the history of you telling us, Ms. Barbara, when God came through at that nth hour, when everything else looks like it was lost. The Americas is a lost cause. If we had believed what the rest of the world was saying to the founding fathers, this is a lost cause. But you know, listeners, God is the God of hope. And he makes a way, just like he says, when there seems to be no way. And I can laugh at it now, and I can smile at it, because God is going to be given the glory, and rightly so, because no one could have predicted, you know. And also, it takes faith, because the Word says we walk by faith and not by sight. And these two ladies knew the right thing to do. One proclaimed we were going to go, and the other did too. And they, you know, they were going to show up. We were going to have a presence there, whether or not it, you know, it was going to amount to anything or not. The Word stood firm, and the presence was there. And I remember looking at the faces of the state board members, and for them to have heard that the Alabama Southern Baptist made a decision as early as, it was November 11th. The decision was made November 11th, and we were there the next day. Now, listeners, there was no planning that. So, you know, these agendas, these dates were planned a long time in advance. We could not have planned this. You know, when we act like we are claiming God's goodness and praying to God, it's because we know He's real. And, yes, He does make a difference, like George Washington Carver said.
I tell you what, every person that day made a difference in what they spoke, in what they prayed. And the fact that that entire resolution was read word for word to the Alabama State School Board, that resolution in opposition to the 2020 plan, the Common Core plan, unanimously passed by the Alabama Southern Baptist Convention, was read word for word to the Alabama State School Board members. They had to sit there and listen to it. And that was powerful. That was so powerful. And, you know, God's word goes forth and does not return to Him void, but He does accomplish that for which He sends it. And I believe that it's making a huge difference. I believe that with all my heart.
And I think if you know, I make the point that we are being attacked with a three-pronged attack. Well, they're being attacked with a three-pronged attack too, and it's God has given us all the prongs, and they're beginning to have to understand that it's just not a few ladies who don't want their children taught, or a few homeschoolers who don't believe in public education. They're beginning to understand that the citizens of Alabama do not want their children taught this. Those are the people who voted to put them in, and those are the people who can vote to take them out of office. And I think I think starting that day, once they understood the prongs of the attacks going against them, that God had put the odds in our favor now. He has given us extra armor and extra things to fight with that we didn't have before.
That's right.
And He gave us that, and you could tell it made a difference that day.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God.
And you know, my favorite saying is, we never, 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 never give up. Period.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
I love it.
We're not going to
give up. I love it.
We're not going to give up. And, when we're on God's side, that is a majority. Yep, absolutely.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, you always have taught, you used to, you know, tell us and teach us about in the past, it used to be that you could go present your case, right? One man and the Constitution, or was that it?
Yeah.
One man and the Constitution.
Yeah. One man
and what's happened is things have been turned upside down. But God hasn't changed, and the power of God has never changed. I think the problem has been that maybe we have not been using it because, you know, it wasn't politically correct to really, you know, be doing things in a different way, you know, asking God for help, you know, asking God in prayer for help, you know, used to be such an incorrect thing. You can't even say the name of Jesus, you know, and that's what has been happening. But I think people are starting to push back. I really believe that there is, you know, I'm hearing more, you know, I'm encouraged by Glenn Beck. I watch Glenn Beck and I'm seeing them pray. You know, when I have watched it, I've seen them pray. And so that's been encouraging, and I've even heard it on other shows, you know. So I'm just thinking, you know, I think people know that, you know, we've been pushed back. We're at the edge of the cliff. There is no room. We are the and when you're pushed at that far an edge, there's nobody else that can really help you. No one else but God to help you. But then he is the right one to go to in the first place. So it's almost like we have to be like little children and learn all over again because we've almost forgotten, you know, where our help comes from.
Well, you know, Diana, when you said that, that just triggered a thought of our George Washington, General Washington, and his men early on in the war. We're talking about Brooklyn, but their backs were to the East River. They had no way of escape, and they were backed up to the river, and the Lord brought the fog in and fishing vessels and anything that would float, raft, anything. And he was able to move his thousands and I don't recall, something like, well, it was several thousand men, and he made a way of escape so they would live to fight another day and live to win our war for independence. But their backs were literally to the river with no way of escape. But the Lord made a way of escape. And, you know, using what was found to use. It wasn't some mighty ship. It was the enemy that had the ships, the seaworthy vessels. We didn't have a navy. We didn't have ships, but some vessels were found, located, and brought that were able to sail, you know, and able to get when the fog lifted that next morning. The British were astounded to see the back of George Washington. He was the last. He was the last to cross. And amazing, amazing story of God's equipping, you know.
Well, I have
Wear
to tell
it
you,
not for
I,
God.
I have had so many doors opened for me that I never thought possible. 5 years ago, I was just a grandmother and minding her own business. And yeah, it is amazing what God has brought to me. I mean, I cannot even describe the places that I've been put in, the doors that have been opened.
Ms. Ann, can you possibly mention the incident with Bobby Jindal? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay.
it was quite amusing. I was sitting in my chair that afternoon about 5 o'clock, and I get this phone call from one of my friends and said, asked me what I was doing. I said, well, I was just sitting here reading. And he said, well, do you want to go to the Bobby Jindal dinner? And I went, yeah. He said, we've got two tickets. Two people can't come. And I said, absolutely. And he said, well, you need to be here by 6:30. So I jumped up and I went and got ready. And I drove and I got there. And I walked up the stairs and this friend said, we had to sign you in. They handed me a ticket to go get my picture made with Bobby Jindal, Governor Jindal. So I get it. I'm like, okay. And I get in line and I walk up to him and I hand him my card and I said, Governor Jindal, you know, I told my name's Ann Eubank and I am in Stop Common Core, Alabama. And if you decide to run for president, give me a call and I'll come help you because we have to stop Common Core. And he said, yeah, we're getting it into court. And I said, yes, sir, I know. And he said, I think we've got a good chance. And I said, great. So they took my picture, and I walked out the other door. So they had given me a card with a number on it, my table number. So I was walking down trying to find the table number. The table that I was at was the table right on the front row, right in front of the podium, and I had to turn my chair around in order to see the stage. I could have reached out and touched him. I was the closest person to Bobby Jindal as he gave his speech.
Oh, wow.
I was at the table with some very well-to-do people, and most of the people at the table already knew about Common Core, and they were against it. And those who weren't, by the time the evening was over, they were. So it was like, holy cow. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't believe it. It was
beautiful.
Amazing. It was amazing. So I know who set that up.
Yeah, she was so excited about it. And were it not for God, and now he's going to remember her.
Yeah.
And I tell you.
Yeah. I called Diana and I said, I have to tell you about this God moment. I know. It was just amazing. Who am I to be sitting at the table with these people in these seats closest to him? And I was in the room, and the room was full of business people. And when he said, Governor Jindal said, we are well on our way to stopping Common Core, I would say 3/4 of the people in that room clapped.
Okay.
And this was business people, like EPA, chamber people. And the guy that was sitting next to me tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, that was a good one for you. And I said, it sure was.
That was God to put you there, Miss Ann. Oh, my.
It was amazing. And I've had things like that happen to me a lot.
And you know, Miss Ann, Miss Barbara, we don't have any money to form any think tanks, any great assemblage like our federal government and the NGA and the Bill Gates. But wouldn't you know, they would have had love to have set something like this up. But they can't. They can't. This is God showing. And I love it when he says, you know, really, that he will give you the words, right, Miss Barbara? I've claimed that a lot because, you know, we go on the radio show. We don't know what we're going to say. I don't anyway. You already know so much with your history, but I'm just, you know. But what a privilege to just see God in action, you know, throughout, and then hearing stories like Miss Ann. When you really think about it, 2014 ended up with so much excitement. It's just, and again, I guess, you know, I was feeling kind of down until we started recapping, and I'm remembering all these things because, you know, I've been in la-la land because I've not really been fighting Common Core until just now, again. But I am so grateful to know that God is in control, and I love John Quincy Adams. Miss Barbara is one of her favorites, and when you read the story of John Quincy Adams, and the fact that really, you know, slavery was destroyed because of the faithfulness that of that seed planter named John Quincy Adams, right, Miss Barbara? And then I love this quote. He says, duty is ours, and I think the result is God.
Yeah.
And so really we don't have to be afraid that, you know, this may not end up with a victory. You know, we may need to do a think tank, do a poll, and do a this and then do a that, right, before we move on the next step. But isn't it wonderful that, you know, the Bible does tell us the right thing to do, right? You give your word. You honor your word, right?
Yes.
Or you say you're going to be, you know, you're going to be present to do this, and when it comes available and there's a call for you to be present at something, you're going to be there. And isn't it wonderful that when we just take that one step of knowing what God's word says, that the results, you know, are His to do at His will. And it's a lot better than what we could have planned. So we're starting off, I think, really, Miss Ann, Miss Barbara, what do you think? Are we not starting off in really a great footing when you really think about it now? I just really just got that just now, that we are starting off.
Yeah. I you know, there was a period of time last year, right after the session ended and before this counseling program came out, that, you know, we were thinking, okay, where do we go from here? And the election didn't turn out exactly like we wanted it, but, you know, with Speaker Hubbard in the trouble that he's in, and Pro Tem Marsh not being exactly sure of what footing he has, Dr. Pesca being here, now we've got the governor trying to backpedal on what he promised to get elected. In the counseling programs coming out, when everybody's starting to pay attention that wasn't paying attention before. You know, there are people sitting there going, wow, what's going on with the state government? So if that can wake them up to some of what we're saying, then yeah, we've Governor Jindal coming to Alabama and that happening, and me being asked to participate in this event that's going to happen in April, and Dr. Pesta coming back, and so I think you're right. I think we're on a roll.
I think we're on a tsunami. I think there's a tsunami building. You know, when God does it, He does it right, doesn't He? I mean, He really does it in a way that's unstoppable because, you know, anybody that's a Christian with a right frame of mind, when they're exposed to the facts, the truth of the matter, and Ms. Ann, you said, you know, you deal with facts. The fact of the matter is there's enough information out there to make every legislator, the governors, not just even our governors, to be scared of what this initiative has. When you open up that comprehensive guidance counseling that they tried to sneak in and has already probably snuck in so many states, but that when you study it full blown, like our friend Joan Landis, Linda Murphy has, it scares the socks off of legislators and I think even board members. So I think, you know, that truth is powerful, Ms. Barbara. You've always said that. And I think we're just seeing that effect here.
I believe so. And I believe that we're on the right path. I know we are. And so we're just going to continue going forward in the Lord, helpless on our own, but with God. His power and His grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. Diana, we are at the close of the show. And it's
Well, you know, as always, it's been exciting. Ms. Ann, Ms. Barbara, who could think that 60 minutes of talking would be exciting? But when we're recounting God's goodness. But, you know, that's what happens when we're really giving testimony. Listeners, we are giving testimony to God's goodness and mercy. Were it not for God, it would be a lost cause. But because of God, it has made all the difference. And I'm turned to Micah 4. I just asked God for a word. And how wonderful is this to come to Micah 4, verse 1. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Oh, my goodness, Ms. Barbara, isn't that wonderful? And Ms. Anza, we're going to just pray here. And listeners, we thank you. Please go to cityonhills.tv and share the podcast and tune in because we've got some exciting shows coming up. I can't even begin to tell you who's coming on. You're going to want to tune in, but I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. And as always, we are so grateful, Ms. Ann Eubank, for all that you do and even taking the time after you've been so tired to join and speak with us and get us so excited and encouraged. And I think the listeners were too. Don't you think, Ms. Barbara?
I know they are.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will continue. We will not give up.
No, and we for those in Alabama, we want you to come to the work session, which is, I think, the second Thursday of January at 10, I mean, sorry, at 1 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon at the Gordon Persons Building. So we want you to join us there. But I'm going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love you, and Lord, we just thank you that you are God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's not about us. It's all about a mighty and awesome and a loving God who extends his amazing grace to sinners such as I, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you live in our hearts because there is no life worth living without you. Heavenly Father, this world is so hurt. So many people out there, they're just floundering, Lord. Because, Heavenly Father, without you, we cannot make it. We need you every moment, every hour. So I pray, Lord, that in this new year, more people will know that, Heavenly Father, that you're just a prayer away. And that what you're doing for Miss Ann, Miss Barbara, and me, you will do for them. But it takes an act on their part. It takes a choice. And Lord, Heavenly Father, it takes so much faith to believe that you're not real, that you're not here. And as the listeners have heard the miracles that you have already done, Lord, you can do that for them in their own lives, in their own everyday hurts. You are just a prayer away. So, Lord, I just ask that this year, that more people would come to know you. Use us, Lord, in every way, and we will be sure to give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you for all that you're doing, the hope that you're giving each of us as we fight on. And we just lift up our soldiers and our missionaries, our educators, Lord, and all across this land, Lord. And we thank you that you are God and you love us so much that you gave your son to die on the cross. And I pray that others would know of that great love. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Ann. And listeners, we thank you for being with us tonight at City on a Hill Radio Show. Check out those podcasts. There are some truly great ones to listen to and to share with your family and friends so that they, too, can become informed, inspired, and involved. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you for being with us at City on a Hill Radio Show. Good night.